Hi, you are listening to the Master's Self-Love Podcast, a podcast showing you how to embark and enjoy the process of your self-love journey, which will open up your heart to others and becoming more grateful for your life. Welcome or welcome back. I am Larissa. Today's episode is super important for today, for today's climate. I mean, it's always been important. But I want to go through what are the healthy versus unhealthy ways to cope. I know that we're starting to transition to more of opening up things here in the U.S. and taking the masks off. And I know that's super scary for a lot of people. And there's just a lot going on, and a lot has already gone on that probably a lot of us or a lot of you haven't dealt with. And so it's important to understand what happens when we go through traumatic events. Traumatic events are always happening to us in life. Specifically for this COVID, you might have lost a loved one. You might have lost your job. You might have been divorced. I mean, there's just so many things specifically just for coronavirus that could be affecting you. And you not knowing it, or you just not thinking it's a big deal, or just kind of going into the flight response of just not dealing with it. But that's what I want to talk about today, is just healthier ways to cope and identifying what's the unhealthy, because sometimes we don't understand what coping is and how we even do it, or and what's unhealthy. When we know what is healthy versus unhealthy, we can then become self-aware and have better, healthier ways to cope and tools that we can use to when we have these traumatic events or just dealing with life. So I wanted to talk about that today because I think it's important that we take the time for ourselves, that we take the time for our relationship with ourselves and ask, how are we doing? So if you want to learn what is healthy versus unhealthy way to cope, then please keep listening. Alrighty, so yeah, I wanted to talk about coping skills, how to identify what is healthy and what is unhealthy, because as we go along here on this coronavirus journey, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot that has gone on already and that we're still going to be dealing with. And I think it's so important more than ever to talk about how to cope and what does it mean? What are the skills to have? Because I think a lot of us go through day to day not knowing what is healthy and unhealthy. And it was very eye-opening to myself. And I see things that maybe I might be doing that are unhealthy or on the verge of it. And it's, again, all about self-awareness. And you can't change your behavior if you don't understand what you're doing and the effects of that. So it's super important. But I just want to take the time to say, because, you know, so many of us have gone through so many changes already and traumas because of this coronavirus. And regardless of this coronavirus, you know, coping skills are super important to have just with everything in life. Everything in life we go through. And we have to understand that a lot of things that we go through are a part of life. And we have to learn how to cope and deal with it, because we can't escape tough times or the loss of loved ones. So we just have to learn how to go on and move forward. And, you know, because I also think that in this day and age, you know, there's still not a lot of awareness of mental health issues and what someone might be going through. And there's a lot of misdiagnosed cases where, you know, a lot of us could just be experiencing normal human emotions. And so I want to take some time to talk about that as well before we get into the coping skills is that, like with the coronavirus specifically, if you've lost a job, maybe lost your house, or because due to financial issues because of losing a job, or maybe during this time you've been you've lost a significant other because directly from COVID or any other health issues, and it was such a tough time because you know you couldn't see people in the hospital if they were dying. And I know, like, my grandfather, he didn't die of COVID, but it just, I mean, he was old age in his 90s, and I couldn't attend the funeral because they wouldn't allow, you know, people to go. They only allowed a certain amount of people. Or some of you might have gone through a divorce or a breakup. So there's a lot going on. And so sometimes I think people might think right away that, and it's always good to get a mental health evaluation to check and make sure, but they're quick to think something's wrong with them in terms of depression and anxiety. Now, anxiety and depression are normal human experiences and feelings, and I definitely suggest going back and listening to episode 35 where I talk about different types of emotions. I found this really cool thing on Pinterest, and I think I linked it as well. It's like a wheel of emotions, and it shows you, you know, what are the different types of emotions we experience, and it does show, like, anxiety and depression. And so you can understand, like, why am I feeling like this? Because something doesn't have to be wrong with you to feel these things, especially if you've gone through a loss, a job loss, things like that. Like, people think these are just nothing to worry about. And, you know, there's actually effects on the body that happen, especially in some of these traumatic events. Especially, you know, people, when they lose their job, it's, you know, I've been fired before. Even just quitting and moving on to something else, it's still a lot going on. It's still a lot to go through because you miss the people, and sometimes you're worried that did you make the right decision. And so these are all really big things. And so this is why it's important to understand what you're feeling. Ask yourself, you know, what has any major event just happened? Or what caused me to all of a sudden feel anxious or depressed? And if the answer is, well, I lost a loved one, I lost a pet, whatever it is, then that's just it. That is part of the process of healing and going through these life experiences. And, like, I have a friend who lost her brother to a robbery. They decided to take his life for some cash. And, you know, I asked her, you know, how they're doing. And they had recently gone to court for, they actually thankfully caught the people. But, you know, I asked her, you know, what was going on, and, you know, during the court, because I know it's a lot to deal with. And, you know, she just said, you know, me and my mom are hanging in there. And she's like, it's hard to, nobody knows, everybody thinks I have it together, but it really hurts, especially at nighttime, because it, you know, everything just comes rushing, you know, out and rushing forward, and it all hits at nighttime. And I said, you know, you don't have to have it all together. That's any person that lost a loved one, especially through that type of way. I mean, nobody would have it together. What does even having it together mean? So it's important to understand that it's okay to not have it together. Again, I don't know, whatever that means, because we're all going through a lot of things and struggling, and so it's just important to understand it's okay to feel these emotions. I actually also recommend, I've been reading this book and it's just amazing, game changer for me. It's already been such an eye opener. But it's called The Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents: How to Heal from Distant, Rejecting, or Self-Involved Parents. And it's by Lindsay Gibson. And boy, I tell you, like, this book, like, everybody has to read this. I don't care whether you think your parents are immature or not. It's just the title of the book. But it really shows you how from generation to generation, we just keep raising emotionally immature people. And it's really comes down to, like, we're just afraid to express ourselves, or we have such negative ties to feeling depressed or anxious. You know, like it talks in the book, like, you know, parents that have, and my parents have said this, and family members, you know, and it's kind of, and we say it in a jokingly way, like if a kid's crying, and a lot of people will tell them, you know, I'll give you something to cry about that's really worth crying for. And in that example, it kind of shows for, it tells the kid, like, just stop. And I get, like, kids, and they learn how to, you know, use the parents by crying and all that, and I get that. But if you don't allow a kid to cry or express themselves either, it tells them that, you know, they really need a good reason to cry. And sometimes even losing someone or going through a traumatic event, it's still, we're still, like, shaming ourselves and saying, oh, well, maybe I should just be stronger than that, and I shouldn't be feeling this way. So it really kind of oppresses kind of the expression of these so-called negative feelings, which is anger, depression, sadness, you know, because sad things and hard things happen in life, and that's just the emotion that comes with it. But this book is amazing, and I'll link or put the title again in the show notes, but this book is amazing, and it really, if you can't afford therapy, this book is so amazing, especially if you're starting out in your journey and you want to start somewhere with, like, whoa, okay, that's why I feel the way I feel. That's why I keep things to myself, or that's why I blow up for every little thing, or what. It's just so eye-opening. And then it's great too, because it also shows you how the other people react to things, and then you're like, okay, that's why they act like that, and then you can kind of just have more compassion towards people, and just see that we all are kind of messed up, you know, in some way. But it's just, we didn't know what we know. We didn't know what we know now then, and it's fine. That's part of growing, and that's part of self-reflecting. And even in the book, it talks about no one can ever change if they don't self-reflect. It just won't happen, because really you're just oblivious, and you think that nothing is wrong. So it's an incredible book. But let's get back to I wanted to show you the reason of why I wanted to talk about coping skills, because we're going to be going back into life, and it's not going to be just easy to just go back into things. It's, you know, there's going to be a lot of social anxiety and just anxiety about still have the virus, and just a lot of things, and we need to, like, really have a lot of self-care during this time, and a lot of compassion. Because, again, people are kind of mixed feelings here and are afraid to go back into the world. And so it's going to take some coping skills and understanding to get through this. So, and then just, again, with everything that life throws at us, we have to have an understanding of what is healthy and unhealthy when it comes to coping. So I found this cool worksheet from Mile Marks. And I didn't even know about this website. I found the worksheet on Pinterest, and Then I clicked on the website and I came on here, and it's a really cool website. They actually have conversation cards for kids. They make them, you can download them or buy them. But it's a cool way to just talk about tough things with your kids, and I'm going to be one of those moms that has conversation cards for her kids. They're going to be like, "Mom, put those away." But, you know, hey. But let's go back. So the coping skill worksheet or card that they created is really cool. I like how they laid it out, and I'll link this as well. And so what they say, they describe a coping skill is the way that you choose to respond to your feelings of stress, anger, anxiety, and other emotions. And then it has the breakdown of what's healthy and unhealthy. So I want to go through the healthy. Let's go through the unhealthy first. So an unhealthy coping skill might help you feel better in the moment, but it usually leads to consequences and can be harmful to yourself and others. A pattern of using unhealthy coping skills usually leads to poor relationships with others. So, yeah, these are things that, it feels great in the moment. And as we go through, I'll kind of explain why, or you'll know. So the examples of unhealthy coping skills is name calling or insulting. So sometimes when we're angry, stressed out, you know, sadly, you can take it out on your, who do we take it out on first? Our loved ones in our home, maybe your kids, your significant other, or even your coworkers. Again, it affects the relationship with others. So if you're name calling or insulting somebody, that's a no-no. As I talked about in my last episode with healthy relationships, nobody should be name calling or insulting you. That's a red flag of a toxic relationship. And it doesn't matter what you think is okay or not. Like, some people might think certain things are okay to say, but, you know, if you have to ask the person, or you kind of know what's bad or not. If not, you ask the person, or hopefully you can express to the one calling you the name that, hey, I don't like to be called this, you know. So, name calling and insulting, it might feel good in the moment. You let that aggression out, but then you just insulted somebody that you say that you care about. So that's not cool, right? So, and then the next one is being violent. So that can grow and grow. The name calling or insulting can grow and turn into violence. Hitting, pushing, throwing things. That's all. It might feel good to break things, but if you're breaking things of people that you love, or just anything like that, it's not good. It's an example of, whoa, okay, you've gone a little too far. It might feel good in the moment. I've visualized throwing a brick through a person's windshield many times, and it feels great even just thinking about it. But if I actually would have done it, it's just going to cause more problems and things like that. So definitely not good to get to that, those extremes. Another unhealthy way to cope is spreading rumors. So this is kind of for those passive aggressive people that, you know, they don't actually name call or insult or be violent in front of you, in front of your face, but they might spread rumors behind your back or to other people. I know a lot of that kind of might go around in the workplace. I've heard of some drama at workplaces. Thank goodness I don't work at anything like that. If I did, I would leave probably, but not probably, I would. But spreading rumors, it's not, and if you feel good, because that's the thing, like, and this could also go for social media. How many nasty comments do people leave? And they probably feel good or bold behind the computer, and usually with no picture, things like that. That makes them feel good in the moment, but you're looking like a troll, you know, spreading rumors like that and leaving nasty comments and So that's just not good. Then yelling and screaming. Again, it shouldn't get to that point to yell or scream. If you have to yell or scream to get your point across, you have to consider, you know, do I really want to be around these people that don't, I can't be heard unless I yell or scream. So yelling and screaming, if you get to that point, it's unhealthy, obviously. Hurting yourself. So I know a lot of people in this category, you know, will cut themselves to maybe feel some relief. But obviously those type of things, I mean, you're hurting yourself, so you can cut a vein, or, you know, you will probably think of other ways to hurt yourself eventually, and that's where, you know, the sadly high rate of suicides comes out. And there's been a lot of suicides during this time with COVID, and just people feeling like they can't talk to people, or just not knowing how to cope with what's going on. So definitely, if you're hurting yourself, that is an unhealthy way to cope. Another example is to being threatening. When you start to threaten people, this is an unhealthy way to cope. It might feel good in the moment to just say, like, oh, if you won't be with me, I'm going to kill myself. Or I know, sadly, a lot of this is used with people in a marriage. They threaten to take your kids away. And those are all things that are, it just doesn't help anyone, you know. And it's, the kids suffer more because they have to be, you know, in this battle that they didn't ask for. And so that's just an unhealthy way to have a relationship with people and to cope. Then using drugs or alcohol are obviously, those are, you feel great in the moment, but there's many consequences to using drugs and alcohol. You get addicted to something else and your problems just grow. But in the moment, yes, people might feel good, and it's definitely an unhealthy way to cope. Another one that people might not think of as an unhealthy way to cope is shutting down. And this is one that I did a lot, and I still do, because it's hard to just turn these type of things off. Is, you know, whenever I had an argument, I just shut down, because I don't even know what to say, and I don't want things to get worse, because I kind of grew up with things kind of escalating, and I'm like, I don't even want it to get to that point. So I just kind of shut down and, like, go into this silence mode, and, like, I really don't even want to be around people. But it never helps anything. So instead, I've learned in that situation to say, you know what, I need some time to think, and I need some space. So at least you're communicating, and then I could say, you know, can we talk about this? And then I'll give a specific date. I mean, you can't just say, can we talk about this later, and then it go days and you're just waiting, the other person's waiting. I mean, that's disrespectful too. So have, you know, it's all about communication, as I talked about in the last episode of a healthy relationship. It's all, if you communicate, like, how you're feeling, like, hey, I really don't want things to get worse. Can I just have my space, or can I go out for a walk? And I even did that on a job one time. I was, like, this guy I worked with, like, pissed me off, and my grandfather was dying, and I was, like, gonna be flying out, and so I had all this stuff going on, and he decided to do some shady stuff at work, and I was on edge, and I went outside. I didn't even tell my boss I was leaving, and I texted my boss, and I said, I'm not going back in there until he leaves, because that guy was leaving at lunchtime or something, because he was going on vacation or whatever. And so I said, I'm not going back in there until he leaves. And then my boss said, okay. And so when he left, I came back and I felt better. But if I would have stayed there, I don't know what would have happened. But at least I just kind of left, but communicated who I needed to communicate with that was happening. So it's not good to just shut down and not communicate, because things could get worse, or not solved, really. Emotional eating. So this one's a big one, especially for a lot of the, I know a lot of my audience came here more because of the body image issues, but along goes with that is emotional eating and unhealthy relationships with food. And so, and I definitely know I do this, you know, I love sweets and I love food in general. I love it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I notice sometimes if I'm feeling bad or just unloved or whatever, I'll just go eat and it feels great. Because it feels that good. It's like kind of like a hug from food, you know. But I'm aware of that now. And so I can kind of just say, you know, what are you feeling, Larissa? Instead of just, you know, comforting myself with food. Or it can be the opposite way. Maybe you're the opposite in that you want to punish yourself and you restrict and you don't eat. And so obviously either or, binging or restricting, is not a healthy way to nourish yourself. And so I definitely suggest going back and listening to my episodes on intuitive eating. That's really helped me with having a better relationship with food. But just know, become self-aware of if you are emotional eating, because that is an unhealthy way to cope with things. The next example of unhealthy way to cope is blaming others. This one's another easy one to do. It's just blame somebody, put the heat on them, and then add on name calling or insulting them. It will make you feel better in the moment, but it doesn't solve anything, and you will strain your relationships. Then the next one is avoiding the problem. There's definitely a lot of avoidant personalities, and I definitely have some of that as well. And it's hard. It's just, it goes with shutting down. You kind of just don't want to deal with it, but that never works, and it doesn't help with your relationships with others, because you're just telling the people, I don't want to deal with it. Like, you're not that important. So avoiding the problem is never going to be the answer. And I know a lot of men in this category don't like to discuss their emotions. Or I know I had a friend that says, well, I try to talk about my boyfriend's past relationships just so I can know, you know, what he went through and what he's needing and wanting, which is a healthy thing. Prying about certain questions about past relationships might be weird. I mean, it depends on what you're asking, but she was just asking in general, like, what happened to the relationship? Why didn't it work out? Those are valid reasons, and I think people should talk about that more so you understand what went wrong for that person, so you know what they're wanting and needing. But, you know, he just says, I don't want to talk about it. He kind of just avoids the problem. So I know a lot of men just say, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to deal with it. And that's not, you're never going to grow in your relationship, and you have to deal with the problem and be okay with expressing yourself and being vulnerable to your partner. It's just the only way to a healthy intimacy. Then the next unhealthy way to cope is being passive aggressive. So this is just kind of going around the problem, or you're kind of being catty and kind of wanting people to be a mind reader and know what upset you. That will also never work. You have to express yourself and say, hey, this, you really hurt me doing X, Y, and Z. And if they don't want to, if they think that that's dumb, or they don't want you to express yourself, then you have to you have to consider your relationship with that person, because you should be able to express yourself and be heard. But being passive aggressive, like maybe like leaving notes or weird things like that, like you have to go face to face with people and talk to them. Or if you're one of those people that sends texts, like for certain things, it should be a face to face conversation, or at the very least a phone conversation, because texting, we all know it can get really kind of crazy. So if you kind of send like these shady texts and expect people to understand what you're saying through that, you're just gonna get more irritated and angry, and you're not gonna solve the problem. The next one is getting revenge. That kind of goes with kind of we talked about, what's the other one? No, but getting revenge and destroying property is not, again, if it gets to that level, something's going on. But if you just think about getting revenge on people, it's just a waste of energy and time. And then pretending not to care, that kind of goes with avoiding the problem or being passive aggressive. It doesn't solve anything. It makes you look like a jackass pretending not to care. It's just kind of, it's not good. Another one, the last two, one is oversleeping. This one, because it kind of goes with the avoidant personalities. We don't want to deal with things, so we just oversleep. Really, you should just be getting, well, it depends on your body type and personality, but you know, 7 to 8 hours. Some people can do 6. I mean, it depends on how you feel, but if you're getting more sleep than 8 hours a day, we have to be asking ourselves, is something going on? Am I trying to just avoid my responsibilities of the day? And there are, and I wanted to say real quick, like, if you do have clinical depression or some type of mental illness, you know, you do have to get a mental evaluation so that you do get the proper medication. So if you're staying in bed and you have no idea why, like if no major event happened in your life, I mean, you definitely do have to get help for that, so that you can, if something is wrong, they will know, and then you can take medication and then see if that is helping you or not, or maybe you need to try different medications or different type of therapies as well. So just make sure you are checking to see if it's not something serious. And then the last one is negative social media posts. So that's if you're just airing out all your dirty laundry on social media. I mean, it's just, there's just better ways to express yourself, because on social media, I mean, people will just judge you and think that you're kind of going off the deep end. And if you are, like, sadly, a lot of people won't even reach out anyway. It's better to become self-aware and say, okay, whoa, like, what's going on with me? And then talk to people that you trust and care about, or go to your therapist to actually get you help, because posting on social media is probably not going to get you the help you deserve through getting through what you need to get through. So now, but we're going to go through the healthy ways to cope, so which will hopefully help to decide to choose one of these instead of one of the unhealthy ones. So examples, using positive self-talk. It's important to also note that there is a thing called toxic positivity. So it's not like, I don't like to say, you know, get over it or just think positive. Like, that's not what that is. It's more like, talk to yourself as you would a loved one. And this has really helped me, because I'll say, like, you know, what's wrong, Larissa? And or it's okay, like, you're just going through this. And it really does help, because then I feel like, okay, you know, I'm there for myself. So just talk to yourself as you would a loved one, and just ask yourself questions, like, what's going on? And and just things like that. So that's using positive self-talk. Deep breathing is another big one. I've actually heard that you can quit smoking if you do deep breathing exercises, because it actually, like, because when you smoke, right, you're breathing in and out the smoke. So it's kind of, so some people have found it helpful to do deep breathing while they're trying to quit smoking. So just look at deep breathing exercises and meditation. I love guided meditation, which also goes through deep breathing. But I also do an exercise where if I'm like totally freaking out or my thoughts are racing, like I remind myself, just take a deep breath, and then I count six as I'm inhaling, hold it for six, and then exhale for another 6 seconds. And that, it really does help calm me down and just let me just think about things, and then I can use positive self-talk. Reading a book. So reading is wonderful, and I know a lot of us kind of now we don't pick up the paperback, but I think it's good to get paperbacks as well. I know audio is good if you want to go for a walk, but it's also good to just get the paperback. And reading is very helpful. It helps you just focus on one thing, and then you can also gain knowledge. Like I said, that new book, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, has been amazing, and so it's helping me cope, and also understanding why I cope the way I do. So it's an awesome thing there. So reading is definitely, I suggest for everyone to have a good book that they're reading every month at least. So, and then the next one is going for a walk, getting out in nature. That's wonderful to do, especially now that it's nice. Get some sun. And it just helps you to take focus off of maybe what's going on. Volunteering, this is another great one. You just, you know, get in touch with people. And now things are opening, so I know food banks and things like that need help. Or just whatever cause that is near and dear to your heart. And you don't even have to, like, specifically volunteer to an organization. You know, maybe, you know, ask the elderly neighbor if they need help with their yard cleaning or picking up groceries, things like that. You know, help your neighbors. And then exercising, obviously going in the gym, maybe taking some exercise classes. There's great videos on YouTube for exercise. There's this one girl I like, and she does, like, really small, like, short videos, like 15 minutes. I don't see her on here on my computer, but just things like that. Like, you could do a quick little exercise video in the morning or evening, a nice yoga video at night. Again, it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to be 2 hours at the gym or whatever. It's whatever time you can take for yourself. And then another healthy way to cope is talking to a friend. And obviously this has got to be someone that allows you to listen and doesn't judge, isn't quick to give advice right away. Just allows you to vent and be there for you. And that's great to have. And maybe that friend is even your pet, you know, vent to your pet and then they'll give you that weird look. But that's what pets are. Pets, I don't even think pets are on this list, but definitely having a pet is a great way to cope. I love my kitties. They're so special to me. The next one is playing a sport or a game. This is also helps just being on a team and meeting people or having a good community. And it's also exercising at the same time. There's also, like, my coworkers like to do a trivia night, so we'd go meet at a bar and play trivia. I've never done that before, and it was fun. I liked it. So having a game night or something like that, or meeting up for trivia, it's a fun thing to do. Hanging out with friends, making sure to pencil in your friends and loved ones, especially now that we can start seeing people. It's definitely We definitely need to have that connection and being there with people. I know when there's tough times, it's easy to isolate yourself and you want to be hidden from the world. And I tend to do that too, because that's just, I'm introverted, but I don't want to label that with, like, completely label myself as introverted and give myself an excuse to not see people. So whenever I'm like not feeling like it, I kind of say, do you not feel like it, or you're just, because it's okay to cancel things, and you might be really going through a bad day where you just need to take that self-care, and that's totally fine. And if friends want to, you know, be mad at you for that, then, you know, find some new friends. But I definitely am trying to push myself to do things that, even if I don't feel like it, because it's easier just to stay home and watch the same old things, and, you know, but I try to put myself out there and hang out with people, because then when I actually do go out and do things, and I do end up having a good time. Listening to music, I mean, that's a big one for me. I mean, I love music. Depends on my moods, I have different types of music, but music definitely, and try different genres too. Like, if you're just stuck on one genre, like, try different genres, because, like, a lot of people don't like country music, and I always am like, what the heck, like, I love country music. I definitely listen to it when I want to feel, it's kind of like when I watch rom-coms, like, I sometimes listen to country music for the same feeling, like that, because there's a lot of, you know, love country songs, and there are a lot of heartbreak country songs. I'll turn on Neon Moon when I'm going through, like, a heartbreak situation. And so, definitely try out different genres of music. Doing yoga or meditating, we talked about that one when I talked about deep breathing. Guided meditations are amazing. Drawing or painting, if you're more of a creative person, you know, buy some stuff at the dollar store if you can't afford some painting materials, and just paint whenever you're feeling kind of crappy or you want to escape. You know, that's a great way to cope. Sharing your feelings, I mean, that's a great way to cope, because it just lets it out, and that's why therapy is great. Definitely check your health insurance if you have it. I know a lot of health insurances are now offering maybe some type of free virtual therapy, so definitely take advantage of that. I know mine just stated that they were doing that, so I definitely signed up for that. And so sharing your feelings to someone that you trust is definitely a great way to just let it out, because if you keep it bottled in, it's just sitting there like poison, and you're just hurting yourself. Taking time, this, I think they kind of spell that in a weird way, taking time by yourself, I guess, I don't know, that seems kind of worded weird, but taking the time to be by yourself, I've definitely talked about that many times on this podcast. I have an episode of the importance of dating yourself. Even if you are married or in a relationship, you have to take time for yourself. You have to have time to clear your mind and think, instead of with all the busyness and chaos around you. And you have to take your time to ask yourself how you are doing. Taking a hot bath or a shower, this is also great. I love baths. It definitely calms me down, and I like to take them in the evening too, because it seems like it kind of helps me get ready to sleep. It makes me a little sleepy. And then also, I've heard about taking cold showers can do something to you mentally. I can't remember what it was, but they said taking cold showers kind of wakes you up and gets you kind of pumped up and ready. So kind of maybe that will help you come back to life a little bit there. And then a healthy way to cope is resolving the problem. So a lot of us, we don't think of that as like a coping skill, but resolving the problem. Why should we go around with this grudge in our hearts or this bottled up, like, expression that you want to tell somebody something? Like, why not just resolve the problem? And that goes, so that means you have to communicate with people, you have to be comfortable expressing yourself, and if you can't resolve the problem, that's where we have to say, well, is it because the person that we're trying to resolve the problem doesn't want to hear what I have to say? Or maybe, as I talked about on my last episode, when we think about the relationship with ourselves, do we trust ourselves, or are we honest with ourselves? So a lot of the times, we're not being honest with ourselves, we're lying to ourselves that, no, this relationship can work. No, I'm okay the way I am without, you know, self-reflecting. They're the problem. They're always the problem. So a lot of this here of resolving the problem is taking a hard look at yourself and the relationship with others. Like, what's the problem here? And look at yourself and the other person, because a lot of times we don't look at ourselves. And because a lot of times, yes, if you're in a, like, for example, if you're in a relationship with someone and they keep cheating on you, yes, that's a terrible thing that they're doing. But you got to look at yourself and say, why do I keep choosing this? Because at one point, you are choosing to stay there. And so maybe part of the problem is yourself as well. Like, you are avoiding the problem, or blaming others, as we said, was an unhealthy way to cope. So you do have to resolve the problem as a healthier way to cope and deal with things. And lastly is being in nature. That is one of my favorite things to do. I absolutely love it. I love to be outside. And so get in touch with nature. Wherever you are, take a little drive. Or I love road trips as well to cope with things. I love solo road trips as well. I had just went to Vegas with my dad and brother recently, and we drove, and it was fun. I annoyed them with playing trivia, but it's fun. I like it. So we had a good time, and so I think we all just need to slow down, take a look at, like, okay, like, what's going on, what's happening, and we can't avoid what's going on and just think that nothing's happening, as we've all gone through this coronavirus. The whole world has gone through this. And so I hope going through these examples can kind of bring you some more self-awareness or knowledge that maybe you didn't have, and just build and grow to, you know, having a better relationship with yourself and others, as I say in the intro to this podcast, because that's all we really want, right? So be kind to each other. I know we're divisive right now. And I'm starting to realize, I know that is kind of part of life, because human beings are complex. We're not all going to think the same way, feel the same way about things. We're all brought up differently as well, and so we can't all just agree all the time. So that sometimes just knowing that is just, and leaving it at that sometimes just helps as well. But definitely check out that book, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. That is definitely going to help you with coping skills as well, because it teaches you how you react to things and why you do that. It's good to know the why, and then you can say, okay, I get it, and you can grieve over that, or have an understanding for yourself and forgive yourself or others that maybe put you in that position. We're all kind of dealing with things, or, you know, learning about ourselves. And so I commend you all who listen to this podcast, because you truly do want to grow and be better and have better relationships with others. So I hope this podcast episode was helpful, and I hope to talk to you all soon. Until next time, take care. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram @MasterSelfLove. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.